I'm going to present some things for you to consider. And they're things you've heard before, but this year's different. Can we go back and maybe recoup or revisit some of how this year started? It's been quite a year. I'm supposed to introduce myself. My name's Joe Phelps. My much better half is Debbie. Most of you know her. But this year has been different. I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen in January, what happened in February, what happened in March. I mean, there has been some things that have changed in this world. So like, as I was trying to ponder this message, and I'm telling you, it was difficult. And I think it's just the atmosphere for me to land on something that you could relate to and take home and hopefully get you through another week. Because the Word of God does that, you know. It's so true, so powerful. So if you would, before we get into a little more details there, in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. We're actually going to start with 25, and I hate to drop that on you, our new graphics team back there. But Hebrews chapter 12, 26. We're going to start with 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. And now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably and with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, that just said a lot, but we're going to pull out some things out of that apply to today, right now, this moment, or this year. You go back to what he says here. He says, indicating and removing what can be shaken, that is, the created things. Everything that has been created can be shaken. What's going to be left remaining? A kingdom that cannot be shaken. So think about this year. Think about it. Now I know why John does this every time, over and over. I know that. Let's go back. Consider what can be shaken. Consider that. So that what will remain is unshakable. Let's start over in the year. Let's start back in February. We were introduced to a virus. Some of my friends, we chat about the things and the times and the seasons and the signs we see. We chat about that stuff. We don't want to claim to have any answers, but we chat about it and we reflect it back into the Word of God. We bring it back to life. And not one of our friends that we chat with about stuff like that ever thought the thing that would be shaken or would shake us would be a virus. Not one of us. We had that aha moment. I didn't think it would be a virus. You know, we always thought it would be a bomb or whatever. No. But that's how God does things. He allows these things because his plan is to shake it. Can you reflect with me how many things were shaken by that virus? There wasn't much that wasn't shaken. Let's just go over them real quick here. Let's just do this real quick. First thing became fear, the unknown, information that became progressive. We started with what they told us, and now new information came. So now we had to deal with that. And 3 days later, new information, I have to deal with that. All that is just the beginning of the shaking. Our daily routines are one of the first things that got interrupted. Because we are creatures of habit. We get into a routine, Monday through Friday, over and over and over. The last time we were shaken was 9/11. You think about that. That's a while ago. So we've been in a routine a long time. So, the virus shook us, our daily routine, travel, jobs, food. When's the last time you went to the grocery store and there wasn't something right where you wanted it at the time you wanted it for the price you wanted to pay? That was the first time. Supplies, shortages, freedom to go. They sent everybody home to work if you could. Those who couldn't work from home didn't work until you found out that you were essential. I'm an essential worker. Oh, cool. And we can go do that. So let's keep going. Our medical time, our hospitals were shaken. Every surgery that was scheduled was postponed. Every available hospital bed had to be available for the virus. They built new hospitals, army hospitals in New York City and other places. They brought in hospital ships, parked them just in case they needed them. But everything medically stopped for a moment, for a while, actually, for months. There was new demands put upon us. Our church stopped. Most churches today are not back in session again. Every now and then, but most of them wouldn't let you sit beside somebody. But you choose that here. This is your freedom here. You choose. You sit by who you want to, if you're comfortable. If you're not, it's okay. If you want to wear a mask, it's okay. You need to manage that fear. But that's what this whole time taught us. We have to manage that process. Jobs were eliminated. Essential workers. Some people worked more. Some people worked less. Some people worked from home. Some people didn't work. Food, restaurants closed. Privately owned restaurants, that was part of my past careers, hotels and restaurants. Most of those people actually work month to month who own those businesses. They don't have cash reserves. They don't. The ones that are still open are probably corporate restaurants who do have cash reserves. The people who put their own money into it, most of them have lost it, never to open again. Some are struggling to hang in there. Some are struggling to stay. But that's okay. Shopping, availability, freedom to travel. Airlines. I saw a report one time mid-year that the airlines went from 100% of capacity, and now they were operated for months at 10% capacity. It's hard to pay the debts on those big jets. Let's keep going. There's new demands. Don't gather. Wear a mask. Church is canceled. California even canceled home church. They canceled singing. They canceled what? They canceled singing. You can't sing. Okay. All right. Weddings. Can you imagine all the people who had weddings planned? The greatest day of the bride's life. You can't have but 10 people there. Sorry. No, can't do that. Funerals. Nursing homes. Have you talked to people who had relatives in nursing homes? They're brokenhearted. They were broken. Some still today in certain states still can't visit there. Some can. Some of it's come back. All of that has been shaken. Shaken. Now, as I said when we first started this little talk, God ordains all that, or he allows it to happen according to his great plan. He stood back and said, time to shake things. And it does. And it's still going. And it's still going on. What else has been shaken? Our money has been shaken. Either you personally, due to a job loss, less job, other expenses, whatever changed in your life, your money has been shaken. The corporation's money has been shaken. Our government's money has been shaken. They are a printing machine. Not going to get into that. But hypothetically, we bring in $3.3 trillion in tax revenue a year. So far this year, we've spent $6.6 trillion. Where'd it come from? It flew by. But I'm thankful because people they sent checks to, companies they sent checks to, whatever they did, it bought time for a lot of people. I'm not downgrading that. I'm just telling you some things that were shaken. And a lot of this, I really reminded myself this week that we were forced, or the general media or the general attention thing was to look our attention onto the government. Look to them. Look to them to save us from the virus. Look to them to save us from bankruptcy, for credit cards, food, whatever it is, look to the government. But y'all have been around enough to see the change and the transpiring, and that's been an ongoing theme for quite some time now. It hasn't stopped. So look to the great provider, the government. And you hear it every day, all day. If you're listening to Christian music, it breaks in every 15 minutes to the national news. Guess what they're telling you? Look to the government. The government did this. The government did that. You know, these people have their names mentioned more than anything I can ever imagine. And yet we call them public servants. It's interesting. But it was shaken. What's the last thing that was shaken? The election was shaken. How many elections have we had? Over and over, every 2 years, over and over. And this time it got shook a little bit. It got shook. Well, it's not over. It's going to get shaken more. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. But don't worry about it. Your kingdom, and I'm going to help us get back to that view of a kingdom principle. We're not of this world. Even though we're in it every day, all day, it's hard to get through it some days. It feels like you're walking through mud with big boots on, and you get inundated. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God except God's perfect timing. This election was chosen at this time. This virus was chosen at this time by the one who controls all things, including time. Nothing escapes him. If he allows it, then we, his children, need to recognize that and walk with it and walk through it. It's one of those processes that we're, just like Billy just said, we'll get challenged. How are you going to handle this? How are you going to handle that? And it could change in your day for somebody you've talked to, walk up to you, and they have a contrary view. We're supposed to be mad at them. I don't think so. No? This is America. You can have your own view still. You can voice your own opinion. We're going to love you, especially those in the kingdom of God. We're going to love you. All right? So anyway, those are the things that have been shaken, each one of our lives, down to the basic principles in our life. You had to rethink it every day. It's just some are still working from home. Some got called back to work. Okay, let's go on. Did we, the members of this body, the members of Christ's kingdom, did we know this was coming? I had to dig through that a little bit this week. And you know what? Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to go through verses 1 through 4 and then 12 and 13. So follow with me if you would. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. We were warned. How many times have you read that? You've read that as many times as I have. You're not shocked by that. He said it would happen. He told us long, long, long time ago. But I had to reflect this week. This is not the only time this has happened to the church. I wasn't alive during World War I. You know they were shaken. The entire continent of Europe was at war. They wanted to kill everybody. United States, we sent troops, we sent supplies, we sent all those things, and somehow they survived and came again. World War II. Now that would shake you if you were alive then. The entire world was at war. The United States tried to stay out of it, but they couldn't. Bomb Pearl Harbor, therefore we're fighting, and then pretty soon we got involved in Europe. But that, millions and millions of people died, millions. They were shaken, but life went on. So we were warned in 2 Timothy and numerous other places. I could wear myself out with the scripture after scripture of Christ warning all the time, over and over. Go with me. Matthew 24. Speaking of being warned, Matthew 24 is a time when Jesus and his disciples were walking past the temple. and it was grand, according to what I understand. Some of you Bible scholars could probably understand that much more than I did. But, I'm not in Matthew, sorry. And it was grand, according to what they described. And Jesus looked at him real quick, and he said, do you see all these things? He said, I'll tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And you know, probably him, he just kept walking. And those guys are saying, what did he say? What? Every stone will be thrown down? Well, it got fulfilled 70 years later. A different ruler came in, and God allowed a different ruler in a different nation to come in, and they tore that thing down and spread it all out so there was not one stone left. He told them what would happen. Not today, 70 years later. Some of them who heard that weren't there. But in Matthew 24, they got back to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him and said, Lord, tell us when these things are going to happen. Tell us the sign of your coming and the end of the age. I'm not going to read all this because I'm going to get over to what I really want to share with you. It's later on in the chapter, but you've read this before. The first couple of verses are very pointed for today. This is one of the things I want you to consider. Consider what they said. The very first thing he said, watch out that no one deceive you. Next line. They are coming. They're going to come claiming that I am the Christ and will deceive many. So that's twice the word deception. The next one down in there about verse 9, he said, then they will hand you over to be persecuted and put to death. And then the faith that you will be betrayed and hate each other. Now that's a different world. That's not one that we're used to. We used to have a routine. That has been shaken. Keep going on down. And then he starts talking about, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. I'm starting to see a little bit more of that in the way that you see the world coming at us every day. You see a little bit of that. People cold now. They're just cold. Then he starts talking about the rapture of the church, and he starts talking about his coming again. But what I want to get over to is verse 32 of chapter 24. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That means they are unshaken. We have some Christian friends that we hang with, a life group, and we go through life together, and it's been a wonderful experience. About a year and a half ago, I asked them this question. I said, do you think in here, is this the beginning of the end? Are we there? Have we crossed that border? Is this the beginning of what we all know as Christians is the end? The beginning of the sorrows and woes, the beginning of things. There's only three couples. One said maybe, and two of them said no. That's because we all have different perspectives. We all process things differently. We go through things differently. But I had to ask the question. I needed to know. I needed to know for me. So I asked you the question. There's some Bible teachers that think the fig tree, they're talking about Israel becoming a state. You know? I'm just that simple. He's talking about a tree, about springtime. And the buds come out and the leaves come out. That's spring. That means summer's next, right? That's how simple I am. But maybe he's telling us to look at the signs of our times, the signs of today, the signs of the things that we perceive every day. Sometimes you'll see something and it passes and you go, I need to remember that. Or just some article you read, or something that changed in Europe, or something changed in leadership. You need to hang on to those things. Maybe it's time to look at those signs. All right, let's go to Luke 18. Verse 1, real quick. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. This is about the persistent widow coming to the unjust judge. Now, I don't want to go through the whole story, the whole scripture. You know this. She was relentless. She says, give me justice of my adversaries. Grant me justice against my adversaries. And she kept coming back and back. And finally, this unjust judge who didn't regard men nor God, said, I'm going to go ahead and give her what she wants. But the verse I want you to grab a hold of is the last one. Verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Here's what I want you to consider. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will we still be in a position at the time of his coming that we are still in faith, that we operate in faith? Do you remember that it was the faith in the Word of God that you received salvation? It's the same faith. The same faith applies today, that you still receive him by faith. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. You can't do it without faith. You must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It didn't change. It doesn't change. Will he find faith on the earth? That's another thing I want you to put in the line level for you to consider. Consider, am I in faith? Do I see God in these things? Do I understand? It's nothing happens unless it goes across his desk first. Now, that's a hard lesson, especially if you've been through some fire like Terry has. You've been through some fire. You've been through some challenges. You've been through some health issues. You've been, whatever that is, that was your chosen path for the purification of you. That's the path that he's chosen. Will he find faith on this earth in the times that we're in? At the time of his coming, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let's go to Hebrews 11. I hope you don't mind so many scriptures because they don't change. They never do. Hebrews 11, verse 11. You talk about faith, you have to go back to Abraham.
He's the father.
Excuse me, I did that, didn't I?
Father.
He's the father of our faith. And I've meditated on this for many, many, many months. And it's something that just reminds me that faith in God is where we need to be. Verse 11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. He considered him faithful who had made the promise. Now, that's pretty simplistic. But as you well know, Billy, once you make that decision that I'm going to consider him faithful who has promised, that's when the battle begins. Because Satan comes immediately to steal that word through trials and tribulations. And you have to defend it. Once you decide, I'm going to defend that word, that's mine. I consider him faithful. You better be prepared to defend it. Every day. A guy told me one time, he said, you know, fasting is really easy. I said, it is? He said, yeah, fasting, doing without food for perfection of your soul, separation time with God. He said, it's easy. All you got to do is renew your commitment every 15 minutes. This makes sense to me. That's what you have to do when you grab on to a scripture like this. That's for me. That's mine. Consider him faithful who has made the promise. And Sarah, who originally laughed, remember? She originally laughed. She was chastised by it back in the Old Testament. I think it's Genesis. As good as dead came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. God promised him that would happen, and it happened. Everyone of faith came from that right there. That you need to consider. That's why I got the word today, consider. He considered. He reconsidered. He continually considered. He went over and over and over. No matter what popped up after that, he always went back to, God gave me a son. He said he was. The rest of his life, he remembered. It's the same thing you and I can do every day. Every battle comes up. Go back to the last one that God answered and that you won. You won because of him. Okay? Consider. Stay in Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 12:12. So how do we get through the shaking? The shaking. How do we consider? Have you considered that maybe the shaking isn't over? Have you considered that maybe it's going to continue? Or, like my wife and I talk often, boy, we sure like things to get back to normal. Maybe not. Maybe this is that time. Something you might want to consider. Think about it. But of all the things going on in the world and the swirl and sometimes even the whirlpools, Billy said, need to drag us in, and you get spun up in the whirlpool, and it seems like you're going down the drain with all this going on, the stuff, and there comes one after another. Maybe this is just the beginning. He promised it would. He promised it would happen. He told us it would. So what do? We are the kingdom of God. How do we push that over there? I don't want to participate in that today. My wife told me last night, she said, you know, I can't watch the news for about a week. I'm done. Sometimes that's what you need to do. You need to make that decision for yourself. Consider what comes into your mind, into yourself. You're going to digest it. You have portals. Your eyes and your ears are portals into your soul. Defend it. I'm asking you to consider to defend it. Limit what comes in, because that isn't the kingdom that we have hoped to receive. It's not. He said it would pass away. Not only pass away, but it would burn up with fire. Now, consider that. Everything you see, the things that we hold dear, eventually, one day, will be burned up with fire. He's not going to destroy it by flood again. He promised he wouldn't. Every time you see that rainbow, he said, he promised. I consider him faithful. But he said, everything is going to get burned up. Everything. Except the kingdom that is unshakable. So what do we do? I'm going to wrap this up. Hebrews chapter 12:12. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Have I got the wrong one? I am so sorry. Wow, I am sorry. I apologize. Oh, first verse. Apologize. 12:1. I'm so sorry. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. The men's prayer breakfast last week, Terry, remember, we covered that in great detail. The author, for you to receive salvation, he had to be the author of your faith. Each of us is given a measure of faith. What you do with it at that point, you can water, you can grow it, you can feed it, it'll grow. If you don't, it'll wilt away. It'll get dry and it'll curl up. But the cool thing about faith is that seed that was given you early on, when you first believed, can be brought back to life by the word. He's the author. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. There's other words that you could use for perfecter. Author, he's the perfecter, and he's also the purifier. Because if you walk in faith, that faith will be tested. It will be tested with trials. It'll be tested with life in general. Daily life, raising kids, careers. Your faith is going to be tested over, but every one of those are for the purifying of your faith. Because through that process, you find out more about you and your faith in God. Do I really consider him faithful? Do I consider him? Go through a few trials. You have to answer that question. Sometimes they last for years. Sometimes it's a weekend. What are you laughing? Sometimes they last for years. And in my notes, I actually had a story I was going to tell you about a thing that Debbie and I went through that lasted almost 4 years. Don't have time today, but someday I will. So consider that. Remember, I asked you to consider all these things. Consider that the shaking, everything that is unshakable will be shaken, and only his kingdom is unshakable. Consider, is he faithful? You have to judge that. You're going to get an opportunity this week, next week, the week after. Is he faithful who has promised? Promised what? To keep you, never forsake you, never leave you, never walk away and say, "Oh man, you got yourself into that. Get yourself out." Any of y'all ever heard your dad say that? Whoa! He's not like that. He'll walk with you. So anyway, that's what I have for you. And I want you to just consider these things. Consider that in the future, is the shaking going to continue? Will it get worse? We all have opinions. My real quick one is the next 2 months are going to be very interesting. Could be that by Christmas, things can be different in this country. I don't know. I'm not God. But he will lead you, guide you, and keep you. He promised. That's it. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Take that with you this week. Consider those things.